Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seeley here to welcome you to the Yoga Revealed podcast. Have you heard of cyber yoga? A term coined as the practice of movement, yoga, and b-boying by the internationally known movement artist Lamont Tales Good. Today, we go deep into the mind of a creative yoga artist whose b-boying background led him into the deep space of unique exploration in body movement and soulful mind. Some call his movements controversial, and his unique interpretation of body contouring, hand balancing skills, a competitive practice that should not be mistaken for yoga.
I could say in b-boying, it is somewhat spiritual, but it's very competitive, and I felt like that's not the direction I wanted to go anymore, and I felt like yoga was that. And when I first found yoga, when I really first was inspired by it, the breakdancing and the acrobatics was lacking something, and I felt like yoga brought the spirituality and the clarity and the focus, and that bound everything together. Because yeah, I had a strong physical practice, but it wasn't really spiritual. And so yoga brought that aspect into that world for me.
Listen close and you make your decision on this insightfully sharp yet vulnerable episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast with cyber yogi Lamont Tales Good. So it brings me great honor and joy to have on the podcast today the one and only Lamont. And this guy is an absolutely amazing yoga artist and the creator of cyber yoga. So I'm stoked to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, brother. I'm excited and I feel honored to be here. And thank you for inviting me.
Definitely, man. I mean, there's no way I would not have you on this podcast. I feel that our goal with the Yoga Revealed podcast is to reveal the depth and the dynamic aspect of yoga.
Yes.
And when it comes to the dynamics and really just bringing yoga into an art form, I feel that you're definitely one of the people to have on the podcast because you're on the forefront of innovation.
Thank you, brother. I'm here just to do my job and do my duty. I feel like it's my life's purpose to lead by example, and whatever the viewers get from, I hope that inspires them and motivates them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do. For our listeners out there who are more so, you know, just only rooted in the traditional yoga, kind of give us an aspect as to what inspires your practice.
What inspires my practice? So I was born in Ohio, raised in LA, was always into martial arts and kung fu movies and science fiction films and any film that was like all about like anything next level and progression and taking your body and mind and spirit to another height. So I was always fascinated with those things. So after high school, I got into breakdancing. I just fell in love with it. I saw it and I was like, that's what I want to do. So I was really fascinated with what people can do with their body and to like learn some moves and then master them. So I did that for a while, and then I got into acrobatics, really inspired by that discipline as well. And then up until about 5-6 years ago, I was doing yoga. And so I kind of just put them all together. I'm just a fan of any form of practice and training. And I feel like you can always learn something new and add it to your practice. So I was always just fascinated with just learning new things and kind of like merging things together and creating hybrids. So that's in a nutshell what I'm
definitely
about.
So give me an idea as to how your practice was inspired and what you're currently doing to keep that progression, because I feel like your practice is very advanced. And I mean, I don't even really know like how it got to that point, but I'm sure we'd love to learn.
Sure. Thank you. I would say a lot of my inspiration came from a fellow yogi, or an old school yogi, older guy. I say about 5-7 years ago, I was lacking a lot of flexibility in my breakdancing and acrobatics, and I felt like I needed something else to add to my training. I was getting hurt and pulling muscles and groins and all that stuff, and I came across a yoga magazine, and the yogi on the cover was a guy named Richard Freeman. He was an older, amazing. I was blown away. I was like, wow, this guy is so inspiring. What he can do with his body, I was like, I want to be able to do that with, you know, add my own touch to it and add breakdancing to it. So I was really inspired by that and him. And so that's when I started to buy some yoga DVDs and take some yoga classes. And one thing kind of like led to the next, and then this is where I am. So kudos and much props and respect to him, because he's the one that inspired my practice. And I feel like in the b-boy world, we focus on taking our moves and our skill sets to new dimensions and like new heights, because it's very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have to advance your moves in your practice. So I take the similar concept and just basically apply that to my yoga practice or what I've created. So it's always updating every day, something new, something fresh, something innovating. So I just feel like it's a constant practice of like evolution. It never stops. So
definitely.
I think I'm one concept this way and do it like 30 different ways. And how can I tweak it, you know, this way or that way? So
yeah,
it's all about progression and evolution and no limitation.
Definitely. I find Richard Freeman to be an amazing teacher as well. Yeah. And we actually are having him on the podcast quite soon.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my God, I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
And shake his hand.
Yeah. You know that he actually taught a few classes here in Santa Monica at Yoga Glow.
Really?
Yeah, at Yoga Glow. I'll send you, when there's teachers that I really like that are coming through, I'll send you a text. So
please, I'd love to meet him and tell him, you know, he basically created Cyber Yoga.
Yeah, my business partner and great friend Alec actually is interviewing him in Colorado, because he practices at his yoga shala.
Yeah, in
Colorado,
I know that,
Boulder.
He's out there in Denver, but yeah, wow. I'd love to meet him.
He's absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Just as beautiful in person as in any video or...
Wow.
Yeah, he's...
That's inspiring. I want to meet him.
The Ashtanga practice, I mean, I feel like that would be really... I would say almost like the best description of what you do, because I feel like your practice is very strong.
Yeah.
And very much so inversion-based.
Yeah.
I've seen you do, you know, one-arm handstands and lotus and jump from a one-arm handstand and lotus to what we would call like a Ekahasta Mayurasana, which is like a one-armed peacock pose.
Yeah.
And all kinds of craziness. I'm like, dude, like...
Thank you.
Very much so... like high tapas, like lots of fire, lots
Thank you.
Of
yeah.
you know, heat and
yeah, lots of fire. And well, you know, I typically modeled my practice after him. You know, he was doing a lot of these crazy inversions and, you know, and the flexibility and the asanas. I was really inspired by that. So I just wanted to add that to my practice, and, you know, putting, you know, the b-boying and the acrobatics and really fusing with Richard Freeman's look and aesthetic and style. I just wanted to add that to what I do, and that's what typically created Cyber Yoga.
So you were inspired by Richard Freeman and his practice to create Cyber Yoga. I want to hear a little bit more about your past, how you came about b-boying and how your practice became so disciplined.
Okay.
Because I can only imagine that you had to practice a long time to be able to get to the point where you can balance on your head with no hands, you know? Like, how did that happen?
Wow. Well, I come from somewhat of a broken home, so I didn't really have any strong father figures in my life. So a lot of my inspiration came from watching movies like, you know, Star Wars and watching all these monumental characters and heroes. So I took that as like my father inspiration and motivation, because I didn't really have that in my life. So
were you a fan of Jackie Chan or
Jackie Chan, Michael Jackson? I mean, Bruce Lee, of course, you know, Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, all these amazing like heroes, you know, and my mindset, like those were my heroes and my fathers and people that I looked up to. So, like I said, I didn't really have any strong father influences in my life. So I kind of just studied and downloaded, if you will, their information and just adopted it to my practice. And I adopted that to my practice. And so, I don't know, in high school or after, I didn't really have a positive outlet. So breakdancing was always there for me. So I just put all my tension, all my heartache, all my pain, all my frustration into my practice, because it was always going to be there.
Definitely. And can you tell me a little bit more about like growing up, high school? Like,
growing up in high school, you know, I was a knucklehead. I had a bunch of friends and a lot of friends that was into gangs and stuff like that. And so I just knew that hanging out with them would get me into a lot of trouble. So I just knew to always stay on the focus of dance and break dance and like being artists. During high school, we would go to the fields and just flip like at lunchtime. We just, everybody line up in the grass, and you know, we just start flipping down the grass. And I was like, that's when it kind of started. I was like, wow, that's when, you know, really realized that I was influenced by watching a lot of martial arts films and everything like that. Just taking my body to the next level, you know, mm-hmm. whatever I can do, like what's possible. Can I challenge myself? Can I do these moves, you know, that I can emulate from like all these films and movies?
Definitely. So I want you to reveal to us the first time that you were introduced to a yoga class, the first time that you stepped inside a yoga studio and truly felt that breath, that sense of awareness that you were actually practicing yoga.
Well, the first class I actually felt, I don't know. I mean, I can say I've been to a lot of classes, but nothing where I felt the breath until I went to, I would believe it was like Sedona, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Took some classes there. I was there. And that's when I actually felt the integrity and love of yoga. I can say in LA, I didn't feel that. Honestly, I didn't feel that. And I feel like it's really, from my perspective, it's very Hollywood and very aesthetic. So I didn't feel that here. I felt that when I went to Sedona, Arizona.
Nice.
I felt the energy. I actually felt, that's when I felt it.
That connection of your breath.
The connection of the breath and the teacher, and really leading by example and having the integrity and the overall essence of love. Like, as a collective, everybody was there showing support and loving, not judging. So that's when I truly say that I can, that's when I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do. I haven't really been inspired to take a lot of classes here. I'm sure there are a lot of teachers that are great, but I was really kind of not motivated to take any classes here because of just how I felt. You know, I didn't feel the integrity. I felt it was very aesthetic and very Hollywood. So
yeah, when you say Hollywood, do you mean very like clicky, very egoist?
Yeah. It's a term that I came up with. You know, I just call it Hollywood yoga. It's very clicky, ego. You know, fashion, trendy, you know, everybody talks about namaste, but their actions and the way they talk to you and like the way they judge you isn't very namaste.
Definitely.
And I can say this about a lot of teachers out here, or just a lot of places I've been, me being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you ask me when I connected, I felt that in Sedona, Arizona, there was some people out there that I really resonated with and actually felt the love that I was like, wow, this is like the essence. This is the integrity.
Yeah.
You know, not so much on IG as well. You know, everybody preaches, but like I said, you know, action speaks louder than words. So there are some yogis that really, that I really respect and admire. Like, you know, we're talking about Gypsy Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Her, she backed me up online and I saw her speak a couple of days ago and just how she carried herself.
Yeah.
I feel like she's just real and genuine. And you don't really see that, at least from like my perspective. I don't see that in the IG community or in LA. You know, maybe I haven't met those people yet, but just from where I'm coming from.
Well, we gotta hang out more often.
We gotta, bro. A little
pancake breakfast.
Man, we gotta do it. Oh my god, pancake breakfast. We gotta do it.
Yeah, I was over at Caitlin's house the other day, and it's just so apparent that she really gets it in the sense of the compassion,
like compassion.
Really finding compassion for everyone that you deal with. And I feel that a lot of yoga teachers, especially, may be intimidated by you. And with that intimidation comes that sense of egoism. And,
yeah, that's terrible, man.
And it really brings a disconnect to the community.
Yeah.
And I have seen it and have heard it and have, you know, yeah, witnessed it on Instagram many times. Yeah, people just putting stuff out there that's not positive towards you. And I feel that it was like a, kind of like my duty, in a sense, to reveal to our audience the beauty of your practice and what you truly stand for, because I feel that your idea of innovation is something that has been and will always be a part of yoga.
Yes.
Because yoga is an evolutionary practice of self-discovery.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like when I first found yoga, when I really first was inspired by it, you know, I needed the breakdancing and the acrobatics was lacking something. And I felt like yoga brought the spirituality and the clarity and the focus and just going within. That's where that came in. I was like, wow, this is a whole nother element, but it's something that I don't know, I just feel like that bound everything together, because I had a strong physical practice, but it wasn't really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so yoga brought that aspect into that world for me.
So tell me about your spiritual practice. Do you practice like a meditation, or do you do any type of say like vipassanas or like silent type movement, or is it?
I would say that my form of meditation are my inversions and my handstands, but I could say that I was always a spiritual person. First and foremost, as a kid, I would just felt like connected to nature and animals and being kind to people and being respectful and loving earth and just really just being more grounded, you know. I just felt that yoga actually like enhanced that.
Yoga enhanced your spirituality in a sense?
Yes, yoga enhanced my spirituality. You know, there's sometimes then I would take a class and I'm going through all the asanas and the poses and I start bawling. I start crying out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I have so much built in. I don't know whatever it is, but something is there. It's been dormant. And usually when I take a class that really hits me, I start bawling and I can't even control it. Like I don't want to, but it just comes out and I'm like, wow. And that's when I know that I'm in a real yoga class, because something hits me within.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it allows you to open.
Allows me to open. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really experienced that with some teachers, but there's a couple where I was like, wow. I was like, there was something underlying and dormant and start bawling and coming out.
Yeah. I've had definitely some classes with teachers like Sean Korn and like Noah Maze, and teachers who really have this kind of like a masterful approach in the way that they present yoga, not just as a practice of the asana, but also a practice of the sadhana and a practice of spiritual awareness.
Yeah.
And almost to the sense of like bringing you into a spiritual place.
Yeah.
where your practice on your mat is a sense of becoming spirit.
Yeah.
And becoming a more clear vessel in a sense.
Yeah.
And I've definitely let so go of some tears on my mat too. So
yeah, yeah, I feel man, it's powerful, bro. It's really powerful. Like you realize, like, wow, it's really, there's some deep things. I mean, I could say in b-boying, it is somewhat spiritual, but it's very competitive. And mm-hmm. I felt like that's not the direction I wanted to go anymore. I felt like yoga was that. And yeah, so when I took those classes and I started balling, I was like, I was tripping. I was like, whoa. I'm like, what's going on? And that's when I realized that it's the truth, man. Yoga is the truth.
I've had a teacher who told me that the body is just a physical manifestation of the mind and the things that we hide in our mind and that we allow to kind of go to the back of our head or we try and forget mm-hmm. are the things that we're able to let go when we get into those poses that are difficult or those poses that really help our body release that tension.
Exactly.
Because the tension is just a manifestation from the mind.
Exactly.
So I can definitely resonate with that. I agree with what you were saying about, you know, b-boying being very competitive, because I really was into... I don't know, back in the day, I watched, like, you know, You Just Got Served and all
that. I was in that movie.
Oh, you were in that movie?
Bro, I'm on the movie poster.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the guy sliding on the head in the movie. That's me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I didn't even notice that.
Bro, I'm on the movie poster doing that pose. And then I'm the guy in the movie doing the head slide and the head spins.
That's me. I remember that.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
So I watched that movie, and I was super inspired. I literally... remember taking out a big old cardboard box and putting it on my parents' living room floor and just going at it and practice. Like trying to head spin and you know, I was athletic, but I didn't really have a teacher.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you more about who were some of your teachers, who are some of the people that inspired you to really transform your practice mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Wow. I would say physical teachers in the flesh. There was a couple of b-boys out there. I know it's not really relevant, but like a couple of b-boys and breakdancers from like Rock City Crew. So those are, you know, well-known dancers. Like I would say Easy Rock and Asia One. There were Ken Swift. I know you wouldn't know these people, but they influence my breakdance practice. Mm-hmm. And as far as the acrobatics goes, I was really inspired by Cirque du Soleil. I was really fascinated that people can balance their body on one arm or take their physical practice to like an elite level. So I was really inspired by that discipline.
Mm-hmm. When did you actually bring that discipline into your lifestyle? When were you like, I'm going to practice one arm handstands to the point where I'm going to get it? Or did you have a teacher who helped you, or was it just I want to do this?
Okay. Everything kind of like was in alignment, synchronicity. I saw one Cirque du Soleil show and I was blown away by it. And I was like, you know what? I really want to focus on learning how to balance on one arm. So I started training by myself and I was researching and trying to take classes, but during that time, I had a girlfriend that was from Prague and Czech Republic. So I would go back and forth, you know, to see her. And she was dancing with a dance company. And so happened to be there was a coach from Cirque du Soleil.
Hmm.
And the coach saw me working on one-arm handstands. And she was like, oh, I can help you with your form. And I was just like, I'm like, who are you? Like, and she was like, oh, well, I'm with Cirque du Soleil. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh my God, really? Please teach me. I just instantly became humbled and, you know, became a student, and she schooled me. And I took a couple concepts and I just ran away with it. And I was like, I was blown away. And so within a couple months, I saw dramatic, you know, results in my practice, and I started getting better. And I was like, well, let me find my own way of doing it. You know, like, how can I do it? But with my essence, you know, with my touch. And so that's where, like I said, my default, like the way we train, is that we always want to come with new ideas and like concepts like 24/7. If we have one move, we focus on coming into the move and out of it 30 different ways.
Wow.
So that's just where our minds are. Like, we can take one move and do it 30 different ways. And that's just the move itself. But like I said, coming into it, coming out of it, how do you deliver it? And then how do you advance that move to another level to set up a whole new world of other ideas and possibilities? So my mind is always ever expanding about thinking about how can we just take it and flip it to the next level. And this is with any move. It could be an air baby or a myrasana or bakasana, whatever. How many different ways can I do these moves? Head balance, you know, hand balance, transitions, isolations and folds. Like, there's so many different ways. Like, there's no limit to what's possible. So this is where my mindset is.
Wow. And that's the true synopsis, I would say, of the cyber yoga.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit more about what cyber yoga is to you what you want it to become to the world.
Okay. Well, let me break it down to what cyber yoga is. Cyber yoga is an acronym, has dual meaning. It's the acronym is Calisthenics Yoga Breaking Equilibre Revolution. That's cyber. And then yoga is what binds it all together. That's the foundation of base. So it's cyber yoga. So I feel like we are physical, biomechanical, spiritual machines. And so we're in the modern and new age. So everything is about now and, you know, technology. So I just feel like it's a practice that's always going to be evolved, and it's relevant, and it's new age. And I feel like this is just what I want to bring to the periodic table of the yoga world. Like, I want to bring my touch and my essence into it. And I feel like it's an advanced spiritual and physical practice. You know, I still want it to evolve, and I want to share it with the world, you know, so that, you know, I'm just happy to be a part of the collective, and that if I can add it to the periodic table of yoga, that's my number one inspiration and goal. To be like, you know, there's Ashtanga, there's Hatha Vinyasa, and then there's cyber yoga. Like, that's my vision, that's my dream. And I feel like I want to contribute to humanity with what I created through my troubles and my hardships, you know. And, you know, out of hardships and drama and pain can create something positive.
Totally.
Yeah.
We think of, like, the lotus flower, you know?
Yeah, blossoms. Like,
blossoms from the mud.
Yeah, exactly. Well said, beautiful.
Yeah, it's exactly, the same idea of, you know, bringing something beautiful into the world through your struggle, man. through your sadhana, through your dedication.
Dedication, man, no matter what. And this is why I say, like, no matter what happens, my practice is always going to be there, you know? Like, it's not going to hit me like my dad did, or never abuse me, or, you know, tell me, you know, abuse drugs. No, it's like, I always just go there, because that's always going to be there for me. It's never going to leave me. It's never going to talk down to me. It's never going to hit me. It's always going to be there no matter what. So I'm married to that.
That's beautiful. It's well said. So with cyber yoga, you said calisthenics is the first limb. Can you kind of give us, like, just break down each letter?
So the calisthenics is more of like strength and discipline, just working your muscles and how to be in control of your body.
And there's no weights or anything, right?
No weights at all. I don't believe in conventional machines. I feel like we can do anything we want with our own body. We don't have to market any kind of product or anything. Or, I mean, it's, you know, no judgment on that part. But I just feel like if I'm in a room by myself, then I can train. Mm-hmm. I don't need any weights or any kind of equipment. I have my body and my mind, you know.
Yeah, be creative.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, man. And this is why we're here, you know. We're here to procreate, inspire, evolve, and pass it along, and just keep that state of progression. So the calisthenics is really, you know, it's a form of discipline and strength and control using your body. So it's calisthenics, and then yoga. Of course, yoga is the base and bind and the spirituality and the yoke and the union. Breaking, that's the B, B-boy breaking, you know, just that element, that world. And then equilibre means balance in Latin, or I'm not too sure, but equilibre is the study and form of balance. So balancing, hand balancing, croc steps, whatever, the form of balance. And then R is revolution, because I'm all about revolution and revolutionize everything I do. And I'm really inspired by revolutionaries like Tupac or John Lennon or, you know, Che Guevara, all these, you know, powerful people brought change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to include into cyber. And then, you know, yoga is the end, which is the most important part, which is like my number one foundational. Yoga just binds it all together. So it's cyber yoga.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So right now you're doing a yoga teacher training, right?
Yes.
Awesome. And what are you learning that wasn't relevant? Or sorry, rephrase question. What are you learning now that you didn't know about yoga before?
Well, I'm learning that the handstands and the flexibility wasn't even a part of yoga up until a certain time. Like, it wasn't even about the handstands and the flexibility. Like, that was the more entertainment acrobatic side, because the yogis had to make a living, so they had to adopt these other aspects to make a living to showcase and like perform for whoever it was, the kings or queens at that time. So just learning about all those different things and learning about like how yoga was meant to evolve, like, you know, it can. So I'm really surprised when somebody judges what I'm doing and they're saying, well, that's not yoga. I'm like, well, yoga is meant to evolve, you mm-hmm. know.
And yoga is union. It's inclusive.
It's union, you know, and there should be no judgment. So when I'm being judged by other yogis, I'm like, I'm really confused. I'm like, well, what I'm studying, there should be no judgment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different forms of yoga. I mean, there was a Bikram. Bikram is around, and there's Ashtanga. There's so many different disciplines. You know, there's Dhammamitra. There's so many that were adopted and created. So I'm like, well, if I'm creating something new, why is it a problem?
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that they went through the same thing when they were creating theirs.
Yeah, I'm sure they went through the same thing. And this is what bothers me, that really kind of confuses me, because yoga should not be about judgment. It should be about union, unity, love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not judging others and accepting. So I see a lot of non-integrity in a lot of yogis. I see a lot of that. And you know, nobody wants to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to be, you know, Master Yoda in the classroom. But, you know, I believe in simple action speaks more. You know, lead by example.
Definitely.
If you're going to be a yogi, lead by it. Show me your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't write on Facebook, oh, I hate when guys do handstands, that's not yoga. Like, who are you to judge their practice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe somebody doing handstands, maybe that's their form of like meditation. Who are you to judge that person for what that is? You know, everybody has different forms, different perspectives, comes from different backgrounds. So your meditation is going to be different from mine. There is no right or wrong way.
Definitely. You know,
it's about just accepting that everybody has their own version. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, they say that there's many paths to enlightenment.
Many paths, bro. Many. So there is no right or wrong way. So I don't know. I just, you know, I see a lot of teachers and I just don't see a lot of integrity. And this is what kind of like pulls me away sometimes. But no matter what, I have to lead by example.
Definitely. Yeah. What would you say are three main tips that you would give to, this could be the B-boy or it could be the beginner yoga, someone who has never really gone into a classroom and practiced, but has felt that type of judgment. What would you give them as three tools to help them persevere and move on with their practice and be motivated to actually have a daily practice that could be different?
Well, I say number one for me is just always be a student in life. So always be able to learn and to be able to learn and to keep yourself open. Like, you're always willing to learn. So
number one, you're very humble.
Yeah.
You're very humble too.
Yeah. That's yeah. Like, Being humble about everything, like, you always have to have a humble beginning. And then even after, like, you have to remain humble. Always, always remain humble. I mean, this is why, like, I feel like I'm always going to be better than myself, because I'm like, you know what, I'm never satisfied. So like, I really have to humble myself and say, you know what, Lamont, this is where you are, this is where you're going, but you know what, like, you're never going to be the best, and like, nobody's ever going to be the best. So it's always just best to be humble about everything you do. So number one, I would say, always remain a student. Number two, being humble. And three is this, you know, believe in yourself, you know, believe in yourself. Nobody's going to believe in yourself like you can. You know, no matter what you're going through in life, you have to always believe in yourself that you're here for a purpose, and everybody is special in their own way. Whether you're a good or bad person, you're there to be an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is like this. It's an amazing, intricate matrix, you know, and everybody has their own purpose here on this planet. It's a matrix. Everybody has a purpose. Whether you're a bad guy, you know what, that's your purpose. And, you know, and maybe like 10 lifetimes after that, you'll be a good person. So everything is intricately woven together, and just know your duty. And I just know that, you know, for me, I didn't really have a lot of people believing me and what I did, even with cyber yoga. So no matter what, I just still focus on like believing in myself and my vision, and that law of attraction is going to manifest into reality. So you really have to be focused and believe in yourself with anything you do, no matter what.
Definitely. That's very well said.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Yeah. And I feel like for our listeners of the Yoga Revealed podcast, it would be beautiful for you to give them an idea as to how to build that brand and how to feel confident about moving forward and sharing the information that you've discovered, because I feel like there's some innovators out there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And there's a lot of people that are afraid, or they just don't know how to actually begin to bring out that information and share it, and kind of just, you know, maybe give an outline as to what you've done.
I believe mine is very simple. I just feel like the universe or God, whatever the creator is using me to lead by example. So I feel like ideas just come to me out of nowhere, and I feel like, and I know that it's here to be an example for somebody. It's information, whether it's visual or physical. You're seeing me do something, and people can decode that in different ways. So if I'm doing something, doing a pose, it's like, oh wow, it's different. It's making you think, oh wow, well, this is what's possible if you really put yourself out there or think outside of the box. So just my overall action, I feel like, I hope that inspires you, and just my action, like, that just shows you, like, oh wow, if this is possible, what else is possible? And that takes with me just really like believing in myself and being confident in something that's coming through me to share. Being confident and like knowing, okay, Lamont, this is your purpose. Like, you have to do this for a bigger benefit, you know. With comes, you know, great power comes great, you know, a responsibility. So I know that. I know that something is coming through me, and I'm like, Lamont, you have to put this out. So I do it. So I really have to believe in myself and not worry about, oh, well, you shouldn't do that, or that's too silly, or the yogis are not going to like that. I'm just like, you know what? I'm here to deliver, and I feel like I'm here to do my duty. This is why I'm here. I'm here to inspire. And whatever that entails, you know, whatever you see that, because, you know, somebody could see like, oh, he's showing off, or like he's showboating. But there's people that are like, they're like, oh my God, it's math, or, you know, it's science, or it's inspiration, you know? So I think people have their own frame of minds, and, you know, I just hope it connects to people that are really inspired by it, you know? So, you know, with that said, like, no matter what, you have to believe in yourself and just keep pushing and just not care what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here for me to inspire. So I'm not going to let somebody's judgment stop me from doing what I have to do. You know, I don't care about people judging me. I really don't care.
It's the best way.
Yeah, man.
Keep your mind on yourself.
And bro, it's insane. I have people from my own crew, like, you know, like my old friends from my b-boy crew. they don't show support. They know, oh my God, they're like, oh, so what, you're not a b-boy anymore, like you're more of a yogi now. I'm like, yo, like, you know, I'm still a b-boy, but this is my path now. See, but I don't let that affect me. Like, mm-hmm. no matter what, I know that this is for a higher purpose for everybody. And so I have people from all over the world writing me, oh my God, you're inspiring, and thank you. And this makes me feel grateful that, like, I'm onto something and doing my duty when I actually genuinely, like, inspire people.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's good that you're leading by example and actually, you know, going out on a limb to be yourself.
Face judgment, whatever it is, man, because I'm constantly judged. I always get weird comments and people writing me, and, you know, it's fine. You know, I understand that comes, you know, with the territory, but I have a tough hide, so, mm-hmm. and I've been through that and, like, many worse things. I just know that this is for a bigger benefit for, you know, for like, humanity, to inspire them and to think outside of the box, you know. You know, we've been, like, conditioned and brainwashed by, you know, society and the system. And I feel like I don't really compute that, you know. I'm going to break that mold. I'm going to break out and show you that this is my touch, and you can do it as well. Whether you're an artist or painter, just focus on your passion, and you can be on the same level, or if not even better, if you just focus on yourself. So I feel like I am the byproduct and the example of just hard work and dedication, and I hope that you can see that and be inspired by that.
That's awesome. I wanted to help reveal some of the key components to adopting a disciplined practice, because I see you do what you do, and I know, even from talking to you a few times on the green or wherever we just happen to be, and, you know, you're like, how's your handstand going? How's your one arm going? And, like, you sit there and you watch me do it, and you're like, ah, now do this. And I know that if I become more disciplined, I can get it.
Yeah.
But what would you say are those main components to actually developing the mindset that makes you get up in the morning and practice, or how does that happen for you?
Okay. Well, I would say that, yeah, I had all the disciplines and the trainings, but I was doing a lot of street shows in Venice Beach and Santa Monica. And there were these guys from St. Kitts. They're called the Calypso Tumblers.
The Tumblers, the yeah. Calypso Tumblers. Yeah, Raymond,
yeah. Alex, Sugar Daddy.
Yeah.
I had met him, and I started doing shows with him, and he's the one that really, 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 like, he's like my father figure for sure, because he trained me to be like a soldier. He says that no matter what, we're doing shows, it's about making money at the end of the day. So you have to be on top of your skills. You have to be a soldier. You have to train. You have to train 24/7. You can't go out there and not have your moves on point. Like, you can't go out there and be half-assed or look like you're not strong or struggling. So he was like our coach. He was like, you have to be on top of your skills. You have to be super on point. He was like, Lamont, you're good at hand balancing and breaking and head spins and all this. So you know what? You have to master yourself. No matter what happens, you have to master yourself. That means training in cold, or, you know, doing push-ups or whatever it is. When you're tired, you don't want to. Like, you have to push past your limit, because the mind controls the body. And so he always instilled that within us. He was like, you have to train hard to be a soldier. You have to be a soldier in your own right. This is your specialty. You have to work on that. And so mine was hand balancing. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm doing everything on concrete, I have to be on point, to the point where if I fall down, I'm not going to hurt myself, because I'm strong.
You're stronger than the concrete.
I'm stronger than the concrete. Like, nothing's going to fade me. And we're doing everything on concrete. So that just makes you strong, like, mentally and physically strong. It's like, okay, I can't mess up. I can't fuck up. I can't fall. I can't hurt myself. You know, I have to make my money and all these things. So good or bad, whatever it is, I always take the good from any situation, even if it's bad. Yeah, he was hard, very strong, disciplined, but I took that concept and I put it to my practice with everything I do. I'm almost like a perfectionist. Like, you have to master your moves, master yourself. Nobody's going to push you like you're going to push yourself. Hard work pays off. And so I really focus on just adopting that into my practice. So every time I see somebody that can do something and they want and they're almost there, I'm like, you have to push. You have to really want it for yourself. Not for me, but want it for yourself, because you have to believe in yourself and know that anything is possible if you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is possible. Anything. I mean, somebody created an iPhone. Somebody thought about the, you know, someone thought about the concept and idea, and now it's manifested into reality. So you really have to put your mind to it. Anything you want, you can do. And the system doesn't teach us that. It teaches us how to be workers and to be enslaved and to think on a certain frequency and a mindset and limitation. And it's like, no, we're not here for that reason. So we really have to think outside of the box and really unplug ourselves from the matrix concept and the program thinking mindsets. We have to unplug and deprogram those programs.
Mm.
You know? So whether it is, you know, we're a handstand or an air flare or an air baby, anybody has the physical capability to do it if they really put their mind to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That brings us to what I feel to be one of the biggest questions of this whole interview, and it is, what is your definition of yoga?
My definition of yoga is union and bond, peace, love. Union yoga, grounded. Being unified with your mind, body, and soul, and with everybody around you. I would say that's my take on it.
Definitely.
But what really gets me is just the union, and union means union of everything. Union of everything: your mind, body, your spirit, the people around you, the environment, being conscious, being mindful. Union is, it could be unlimited ways to look at that, but that one word, I feel that's what really, I feel that defines union. Yoga, it's just the union. And that's everything. That could be a billion different things, but union means that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The togetherness of it all.
Togetherness, everything, space, time, whatever it is, every practicing, you know, being peaceful, loving, non-judgment, all those things, like everything collective, union.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So with that being said, how do you feel that your yoga will evolve?
I really wanted to evolve into... I plan on it just evolving into a super advanced spiritual practice, because sooner or later I won't be able to do all the physical things I'm doing, but just the concept, the name, I want that to live thousands of years past me, behind me. I want people to be like, oh my god, that's some Savyoga. Like, that's some Savyoga shit, or that's that name is Savyoga, that stands for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Savyoga, oh my god. It's saber and then yoga, because it's the modern, it's the new age is now with yoga. So it's always meant, so it's timeless. It's going to be timeless. That means it can always evolve. You can always adopt something new. So mm-hmm. it's a name. It's a concept.
A complete evolution.
Evolution.
Yeah.
A complete evolution. It's never going to stop. And so when I'm gone, when I pass, it's going to keep going. Is going to keep evolving, and this is where we're here. We're here to evolve.
Definitely.
You know, we're not here to pay mortgage and pay for fucking parking tickets. I'm sorry, excuse my French, but you know, buy, you know, kombucha or just, you know, or just, you know, be on Instagram all day or talk about this or like hate on something. No, we're here to evolve as a collective. We're here to evolve. You know, we come from millions of lifetimes, and we're here incarnated for now. And we're here for a short period of time, and I feel like we have to learn our lessons and then move on to the next. Whether we evolve into an ant or amoeba or to a solar system or to a planet or to a god itself, we're always here to evolve. And so I just feel like we have to be in a constant state of that. And so, like, I feel that Cyber Yoga is that. It's always going to evolve. It's never going to be stagnant. Yeah.
I really like that.
Thank you.
I really like that, and I appreciate you sharing that with the Yoga Revealed
listeners. Thanks for having me, man. Thank you so much.
It's definitely an honor. And I wanted to hear, where can our listeners find you? Where can the people who are inspired by you find you? And what should they be looking out for in the future?
Wow. Okay, where they can find me, you can find me on my social media handles. Cyberyoga.la is my website. Instagram, my Instagram is _cyberyoga_. I have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cyberyoga1. Of course, on Twitter, _cyberyoga_. To be looking forward to, I'll be putting out some ebooks and a lot of online material, how-to tutorials. I like to, and performances. Plan on working on a cyber yoga certification course in the future. That's in line. That's in practice. And I would say, just stay tuned, and for all that support and love what I'm doing, thank you so much. And it's for you guys. You guys inspire me to push harder. And thank you, Andrew, for having me on. And
definitely,
it's an honor and blessing. And namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. You can learn more about Lamont Tails Good at cyberyoga.la. Catch daily inspiration from Lamont at cyberyoga on Instagram. And you must take a look at this sneak peek preview at his newest collaboration with movement legend Rubber Legs at Acrobreak. That's ACRO break on Instagram. Namaste, yogis. Have a beautiful day. Keep it real. Live light. Shine bright. Follow your passion and continue on your path.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.